In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, today's Mass is being offered for, in honor of St. Anthony, our patron, for graces. I'm asking for graces, particularly on this day. Today we celebrate the great feast. Why I'm wearing red, even during the Easter season, is because today is the feast of whom? San Marco. San Marco, the great evangelist. The great evangelist, the one who wrote the second gospel, the shortest of the gospel. Does anybody know what creature it is that St. Mark is typically symbolized by? You got out there real quick. I was trying not to look at Lydia because she always knows the answer for these things. You jumped right in there. That's right. And it's appropriate that you saw Rosella leap onto that right there. Why? Because that is the exact reason why. That is the exact reason why Mark is always depicted as a lion. Because if you read his gospel, particularly if you read it in the Greek, you'll find the most common word. Anybody want to guess? I don't think you'll get it. But do you want to guess what the most common word that is used in the gospel of Mark? It's not jump, by the way. That's don't say that. Don't say that. What would you guess the most common word? Okay. You won't get it. I'm going to say it in the Greek, but it's kai. K-A-I. You know what that means? It means and. Literally means and. So he's just saying kai, 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 kai. Meaning he's saying, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and that happened, and then this happened, and then he was here, and then he was there, and then Jesus did this, and Jesus went off and said that, and then this other thing happened over here. And so it's like you get this sense. It's only 16 chapters. It's very short. You could read it tonight easily in no time. And you get the sense that Mark is out of breath saying these things. That he just can't write fast enough. That he's hyperventilating as he's trying to get out all the things of what God is doing here in the person of Christ Jesus. And so we should have a sense of that when we read the gospel. And in fact, we should have a sense of that when we're also living out our faith in this way. When we're sharing the good news that we have. Remember when, to some extent, I'll at least brag on you in this way. And certainly it was that way with Ana Carolina in the same way too. But also with you, Cynthia, when you were a little one, when I first came to this parish, it was when you had something that you really wanted to say, that you were excited about, it was that you were sort of out of breath saying it. You just kept talking and talking and talking in other ways. Ana Carolina was that way. When she got really excited, she'd roll her phrases over and over again and just have this thing. When I was talking with that little, tiny little boy there, Timothy, that's how he is every time he sees me. He just can't get the words out fast enough, not even the sounds. He can't get them to make actual words, so he just starts babbling in other sounds because he just has something he wants to say. And by the time he finally calms down enough to say an actual word, he forgets what he was going to say. We should have that sort of same exasperation and excitement when you and I are talking about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That should be the very same attitude that you and I have when we think about Jesus Christ, when we think about what he's done for you and me. Often you're like that too, right there on him. When you get something that's really exciting for you, yeah, you just want to talk about it a lot until you're finished saying everything that it is that has to do with it. That's a good thing. None of that should be embarrassing to any of us. We all become like that at certain moments in our lives if we allow ourselves to, when we're really moved and we're really excited about what's going on. You're like that too, Rosella, when you can't wait to grab me before I run off into the confessional, right? Before I run off into the confessional, you want to tell me everything that's going on in the whole world to be able to do it. And I'm just saying, I just got to get to the confessional. We should be like this. This isn't something that should be in the least bit embarrassing to you and me, that we have a Savior who is risen from the dead, that he is really alive, that it's actually a reality there, and it changes something about who you and I are. It should be something that flows naturally from us just as easily as any great piece of news would. And that reality, the life-changing gift that God has given you and the excitement that it should take to share it, should indeed change the way you and I interact with the world. I'm going to say something like that right now in Spanish. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. El mandato que Jesús nos da hoy en Marcos es ir. Ir por el mundo y proclamar el Evangelio a toda criatura. Esto parece una tarea muy básica para nosotros como cristianos. ¿No sorprende hoy escuchar esto de Jesús? No. Es normal. Es un parte del fundamento de nuestra fe. El impulso básico de toda nuestra fe es compartirla. No ser egoístas con la buena noticia, or selfish in that way, porque es... Si es realmente una buena noticia, es el sentido de la palabra evangelio, porque nos íbamos a compartirla con tranquilidad, con una urgencia, con alegría también. Proponer la fe a los demás no significa proclamar el amor del Padre en el mundo. No exige el evangelio, lo proclamemos en el mundo y contra la oposición del mundo. El evangelio presenta la fe como una elección que hay que hacer en el mundo, una elección entre el mundo y el reino de los cielos, una elección comparada para nosotros por Cristo. Es una elección que Jesús nos da fuerza para hacer. Para que podamos hacer esa elección de difundir el Evangelio, primero debemos haber escuchando la palabra de Jesús en Mateo 18, que se dice, convertándose, be converted, it says there. Be converted, and then you will enter into the kingdom of heaven, as it says in Matthew chapter 18. La fe debe ser una vuelta atrás de nuestro camino natural y mundano y un retroceso de donde nos dirigamos erróneamente antes. Piense en lo que Dios te ha llamado, en tu vida familiar, en tu vida laboral, your work life. That's what I'm trying to say there. That's not a word. Piense en tus relaciones. ¿Qué estás haciendo con la gracia de tu confirmación para edificar la iglesia? What are you doing to build up the church with the grace of confirmation you received? Think about that in all your relationships. lo que tú y yo hacemos con ella se parece lo que hacen todos los demás en el mundo? ¿O nos diferencia a ti y a mí del mundo? In un antagonismo. Antagonism, I'm trying to say. Antagonism. Is it an antagonism with the world? Because it should be. El reino de los cielos sufre violencia donde quiere que miremos. Esta violencia aparece donde quiere que el dominio de Dios choca con el reino del príncipe de este mundo, que es el diablo. Es evidente allí donde la rendición choca con el pecado, allí donde la iglesia choca con el mundo. ¿Puede nuestra vida de los católicos convertidos por el evangelio evitar este antagonismo constante y implacable y fundamental? La respuesta es no. Y si nuestras vidas no sentían el peso de este ataque constantemente, entonces hemos compartido un evangélico falso. Así es bueno que sintamos este peso en nuestras vidas. No te alejes de él ni te sientas desanimado cuando los sientas. So don't be losing strength when you feel that pushback from the world, because that's normal and that's the way it absolutely should be if we're doing it in the correct way. Pero si tenemos ese antagonismo siempre combatiente, entonces nuestra respuesta a él tiene que seguir tomando nuevos metidos en todos los lugares cambiantes en los que estos ataques ocurren. I mean that everywhere we get attacked in some way, well, what we need to do is find a way to change and shift the way in which we teach the gospel so that it is effective, so that it's changing with the changing places and situations. Así que tú y yo tenemos que encontrar nuevas formas de ayudar a explicar las verdades inmutables y constantes del Evangelio. Jesús dice que es el mismo ayer, hoy y siempre, porque la iglesia no puede cambiar nada de su tradición sagrada. We can't change anything about the realities or dogmas of our faith because they're founded in the very person of Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we have the same constant tradition which is there, then what needs not change is the reality of the faith. What needs to change is the way in which we proclaim the faith and find the way to preach the gospel effectively, to teach it, and to live it. Así que, pero ¿qué debemos hacer aquí? ¿Qué debemos hacer aquí en Fort Sumner para llevar las verdades a las personas que no necesitan mejorar su vida? Piensen en nuestra comunidad. Piensen en ello. Y dinos cuáles sus ideas. Y trátanos de ponerlos en práctica. You let me know what it is that you think we can do. And when you let me know, we're going to try to do something in relationship to that. Porque hay muchas personas aquí en Fort Sumner que necesitan aprender esta alegría del Evangelio en una forma nueva. Y no tengo los ideas buenos y mí mismo. Pero ustedes viven aquí siempre. Y es parte de su comunidad. Y reside aquí mucho tiempo que voy a otros lugares en esta arquidiócesis. Es su pueblo aquí. Y necesitamos pensar en qué forma necesitamos actuar el Evangelio de Dios por nuestra comunidad aquí. Una cosa es cierta. Nosotros como católicos no podemos encerrarnos en nuestros mismos. Hemos sido enviados al mundo para llevar la buena noticia del Evangelio con cambio a la vida. En la medida que la fe no hable alto y claro sobre esta confrontación que está ocurriendo, el mundo puede mantener una ambigüedad superficial, lo que significa que pueden seguir su camino normal, escondiéndose en las sombras de sus resposidos eslogañas y dulces palabras que conducen a la muerte eterna. That is to say, when we pull back from the world and allow the world just to live as comfortable as it is, it loves the ambiguity which is there. Loves to live in that even as superficial as it is and likes to hide within those sombras and those shadows that they've established so that they can speak sweet words that lead ultimately unto death. Pero en el momento que la fe que Jesús nos ha llamado a vivir y a predicar se muestra al mundo y el mundo ya no puede esconderse en la ambigüedad. Esto obliga a la corrupción del mundo a salir y a presentarse como contrario a la fe, a estar desacuadro con la felicidad humana. That's what our faith is trying to lead you and I to do. To become ones who are able to show what the reality is. Don't become afraid of what is going on within the world because we see things that are changing quite rapidly in these present times for the better. Permite estas cosas que ve, las cosas de alegría, las cosas los cambios buenos en el mundo, para fortalecer su fe y su confianza en las gracias de Dios que están en ustedes. Están ustedes primeramente en su gracia de confirmación. Porque, ¿qué ocurre en su vida cuando recibe esta gracia de Dios? Esta gracia de confirmación es para cambiarse en soldados por Cristo. Soldados por Cristo en este combate mundial. Entonces, no tenemos nada de temer. Porque Jesús se dice en sus últimas palabras, en el Evangelio de Mateo, capítulo 28, y él se dice, Yo estoy con ustedes hasta el fin del mundo. Those are the promises of God. He says the same thing to you and me. To not be afraid of what is going on within the world, but he made that very promise when, right before he left, as it speaks about here in Mark's account. He said, for lo, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. Por eso, esta confianza, recibimos una refuerza de esta confianza de Jesús en esta misa, cuando estamos aquí en este barandal, para inclinarse a rodillo y recibir la Santa Eucaristía, que nos fortalece entre este mundo, hasta el mundo que no tiene fin. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu.